WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Award-winning author Astrid Lindgren, the creator of the beloved children's character Pippi Longstocking, died in Stockholm, Sweden this past Monday. Lindgren was 94. Her three books about the independent redhead with the vertical braids and the mismatched tights have spawned picture books, movies, cartoons, even a Swedish theme park. Most of all, though, Pippi has inspired generations of young readers to leap in the air and fly, at least in their imaginations. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has an appreciation.
One of the things I love most about the Pippi Longstocking books is the tale of their origins. Astrid Lindgren always said that Pippi Longstocking came into being in 1939 when her then 7-year-old daughter Karin was convalescing in bed from pneumonia. Karin asked her mother to tell her a story about a girl. Karin had even concocted a silly name for her, Pippi Longstocking. 3 years later, when Lindgren herself was laid up in bed with a leg injury, she wrote down the stories she'd been making up about Pippi. There's something enchanted, I think, about that image of a mother and daughter temporarily freed from the constraints of the world in the dreamy, drowsy space of a sick room. The mother is spinning out tales of a girl with wild clothes, superhuman strength, and a boundless sense of fun. The daughter is laying in bed, all ears, absorbing the anarchic possibilities. Now that I'm the mother myself of a little girl, I can also appreciate why Lindgren had to make those stories up for her daughter. Over 50 years after the first of the three Pippi books was published in Sweden in 1945, strong, impish female characters are still not nearly as populous as their male counterparts. Based on a completely random and tiny survey among both the little and the grown-up boys I know, I'd say the Pippi books constitute a rare example of a girl's adventure saga, one that boys can read without worrying that they're turning into sissies. First of all, Pippi is no girly girl. Instead, she's the mistress of misrule. She's always subverting traditional hierarchies, denying reality, and blurring the boundaries between truth and lies. Outfitted with a monkey, Mr. Nielsen, for a companion, and two socialized neighbor children, Tommy and Annika, as foils, Pippi roams the Swedish countryside, outwitting schoolteachers and policemen, beating up gangs of bullies and robbers, and lifting up horses and circus strongmen with a flick of her skinny arms. Pippi's ramshackle house, Villa Villa Kula, is the storm center of this cheerful chaos. Realizing every child's sporadic fantasy, Pippi lives there alone. Her sea captain father was washed overboard in a storm. Pippi tells everyone he's now a cannibal king. Her dead mother, she insists, is an angel. Every so often, Pippi looks up at the heavens and calls out her signature phrase to her mother. "Don't you worry about me. I'll always come out on top." One thing Pippi clearly has in spades is that quality that's so tediously preached in contemporary children's stories, self-esteem. But Astrid Lindgren recognized that to preach was to condescend. So Pippi's deeds, much more than her words, give her young readers a sense of the self-sufficiency that comes from liking who you are. Lindgren also knew that sadness had to intrude into Pippi's world to give it depth. Every so often, Pippi's merry autonomy shades into loneliness. The last image Lindgren gives us of Pippi is an ambiguous one. Tommy and Annika are standing outside Villa Villa Kula on a winter's night, looking through the kitchen window at Pippi. They want to wave to her, but she doesn't look up. Pippi, Lindgren writes, was sitting at the table with her head propped against her arms. She was staring at the little flickering flame of a candle that was standing in front of her. She seemed to be dreaming. Like all the great rebel loners of children's literature, Peter Pan, Curious George, Peter Rabbit, Pippi touches everyone who meets her. But no one can, or ever will, touch her.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.